Okay, I think we'll start this session, and welcome to everyone. My name is Steve Modisette. I'm the lead on the Public Health Informatics Initiative at the Oregon Health Division, which is part of the Oregon Health Authority. And my colleague and presenter is Dina Dickerson. And I thought I would give you a little background on Dina. She is has worked in the State of Oregon Office of Family Health at the Health Division as a manager for informatics since 2007. Previous to that, she was the CEO and founder of Verinform Systems, her private company from 2001 to 2006. She was president and founder of E2 Software, Dickerson & Associates Consulting, from 1984 to 1996. She was a research associate at the Oregon Health and Sciences University in Portland, Oregon, from 78 to 83. She was an assistant information scientist at the RAND Corporation in Santa Monica, California, and began her career at MD Anderson Hospital and Tumor Institute in Houston, Texas. Today she'll be talking about the Shared Services Public Health Informatics model. And so, Dina, you want to go ahead?
Let's see. Oh, this one works. They told me I have to speak into the mic because it's both virtual and being recorded. So even though it's a small room and an intimate group, I'm going to have to do this. So, all right. Applying public health standards to health department services and functions. So I'm going to take y'all through this. And we're a small group, and we're the only show in town in this room. So if you guys can stop me anywhere. This isn't going to be real formal. And as we go through it, you're likely to have questions. And so it's not going to hurt my feelings one bit if you stop me and clarify and add comments or whatever, okay? So why would we do this? This is going to be a duh to most of you, but I'm going to say it. Health departments and services and functions are not standards-based. We have redundant functionality, non-standard data in silos. It's burdensome and expensive. Neither interoperable nor scalable. This is not news to any of you, I suspect. On the other hand, standards enable us to identify and share common functionality, such as patient provider identification and demographics, referral management, licensing and permit, screening, performance measures and outcomes, and so on. And most importantly, standards enable us to share common data according to permissions. So we've got two big sort of models here, a framework for public health practice. First off, Institute of Medicine described the 10 essential services of public health in 1988. And then the Public Health Accreditation Board established standards and measures to focus on those core public health functions in 2009. So the essential services, core functions, standards, and measures are the baseline for streamlining public health practice functionality. So Steve and I, more people are coming in, hello. I say it's a non-scientific analysis of Oregon Public Health Services because basically for a different purpose, we did an environmental scan and quickly looked at the systems we had. So here are our methods. We first interviewed key informants for 41 programs to characterize their work. And in the course of that, identified 142 database silos within those 41 programs that were supporting their work. And then we looked at each of those. We analyzed the functionality that were provided by those 142. And out of that examination, we derived 36 common services that supported those programmatic functions that were appearing over and over and over. Then we went back and identified which of the 36 common services were provided by each of the 142 silos. Then we align those 36 common services with the IOM and FAB models. So I'll be taking you through that in some detail here. And I don't expect you to read this. I just wanted you to see, here's a summary, a snippet of a spreadsheet that summarizes for the programs, not all of them, just some of them. If you have an X in a column, everywhere you see X's in a column, that's redundant functionality. And when you see X's in a row, that means a single program is doing more than one of those things, okay? So our bottom line, 36 services with redundant functionality. So I'm going to start here. The Institute of Medicine model, the essential public health services and core functions. This particular image, 1994, is the date on this. And so the three main areas, assessment, policy, development, assurance. So under assessment, we have monitor health, diagnose, and investigate. Policy development, inform, educate, empower, mobilize community partnerships, develop policies, and then over on the assurance side, the biggest one, enforce public health laws, link to and provide care, assure competent workforce, and evaluate. And then right at the core of all of it, you've got system management and research. So that's where we're starting for our model. So then FAB came out, and they had their 12 domains in support of the 10 functions. And we will be going through this and the detail on this in just a minute. But basically, we aligned the FAB. FAB got more granular, basically, on the 10 functions. And then they also introduced governance. So you see governance here. And we stuck it in the gray zone because we had nowhere else to put it. But we superimposed everything else onto the IOM model. And so this is the 12 domains for FAB. This version 1.0 approved May 2011. It's pretty fresh. So then we took our 36 services that we identified that were reappearing over and over and over in those 142, and we superimposed them on top of the IOM FAB models. And don't worry about reading this. We're about to go through each of these. And we'll come back to this model. Assessment. So FAB says, so there's two pieces to this. Monitor health, diagnose, and investigate. So conduct and disseminate assessments focused on population health status and public health issues facing the community. So what is the actual work that we're doing on the front line to get that, to make that thing happen? Identification and graphics. So I have some numbers over here on the side. So these numbers are when we went and looked at those 142 silos and whether or not they did this particular thing, and we did not judge how well they did it, how old the platform was or anything. Yes or no, they had functionality in there to create a patient, client, and then identify demographics about that individual. So 45 instances of that happening. Screening. We have lots of screening, early hearing detection, intervention, all sorts of stuff happening. 24 instances of that. Registries, birth and death, immunizations, many of these happening. We have 20 of those. Surveillance, 14 of those. Health problem and hazard testing. Oh, so now we're over into diagnose and investigate. We're in this section here now. Health problem and hazard testing. We had 18 occurrences or instances of that happening. And inspections and compliance reviews, we had 30 of those. Response and mitigation, we had 10 of those. So for these seven services identified here that are the work of doing these two things, we had 161 instances of unique pieces of functionality created to do that thing, okay? To do these two, the thing called assessment. Average instance per service, we had 23. So what that means is functionality created 23 times on average to do each of the seven services. Okay? Any questions? Just keep going. Okay. Y'all can stop me anywhere you want. policy development. So we have the same sort of thing going on here. Strategic planning, 33 of those. And Steve, if you have comments, because you worked in policy development far more than I have, so feel free to add whatever you think appropriate. Health improvement, I should say planning, there's a typo. 21, emergency response planning. 16, business continuity, 35 of those for developed policies. So then mobilize community partnerships, advice and consultation, 36 of those. Inform, educate, and empower. Disease and injury prevention and education, 16 of those. Health promotion, 22 of those. So for these seven services, 179 instances of discrete functionality that was created to do those things, average instance per service, 25.6.
And I would add, Dina, that, you know, these sort of map back to programs. If you look at an org chart in a health department, state, local, or federal, you know, you'll see a picture of an organization by their programmatic function. And so I think what the shared services model enables us to do is look under the cover of the program to what are the actual functions that are taking place. And they're many times the same function, however, they're occurring in multiple instances.
Keep going, or anybody got a comment here? Because I'll keep going unless you have a comment.
I think it's a wonderful framework.
Thank you. So I'll keep going here until somebody stops me. Assurance. This is the big one because it's got so much happening. And I just want to say there are a couple of areas where we didn't have complete data, so I'm not reporting the numbers. Safety, implement safety measures is one example. We didn't have complete data, so that is not appearing in our list of numbers. But starting with licensing and permits, emergency medical technicians, ambulances, restaurants, blah, blah, swimming pools, they all need licenses and permits to operate. So we have 18 pieces of discrete software for that. Rules and regulation enforcement, 37. Health service delivery, because there are instances in which the state is delivering health services, and so we have 22 instances of that. Care coordination. So here's where you have scheduling, you have your best practice protocols, and you have scheduling around that. We have 25 instances of that happening. Enrollment. When people have seen enrollment, they thought I was talking about Medicaid. Medicaid is a program that we enroll in, but we also enroll in every other program. So I'm talking about any kind of enrollment. Eligibility, the eligibility criteria to participate in a program, you know, whether it be pregnant, income, whatever the reason may be, the eligibility criteria that allows you to participate in a program. We have 22 of those. Referrals, we have 18 of those, and nobody knows what happened to anybody because, of course, they don't communicate with each other. It's a dead end. Providers and personnel, we have 27 instances of tracking information on providers, and whatever it is they need to know about them, and personnel as well. Training, we have 38 of those. Certification, we have 18 of those. Performance and measures and outcomes, 34. Service quality and best practices, 33. So for these 13 services, 312 instances of discrete functionality, average instance per service, 24. Okay. Sean. If it's licensing and permits at all, we counted it one time. So you're right, it could end up being more. But I want to enforce, reinforce, whatever. This isn't high science, okay? This is a quick and dirty. We went in there and looked, and we did a count. I'm sure, we could do a highly financed, thorough investigation, but this was quick and dirty. Go do a count. Did it exist, yes or no? That's what this was. So I'm sure it could be done better. But what I'm trying to get across is orders of magnitude. We're talking not three times. We're talking 24 times in this case that functionality. And it's not just that somebody paid to have the functionality built. There are human beings out there entering this data. And this data is not able to be put together with other data because, of course, everybody did it their own way. Okay, and it's all on different platforms, and there's no standards in use, and so on. Yes.
You're saying that somewhere in your health department there are 18 duplicated systems
yes.
doing this?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
So this is just an average of 24 duplicated
yes.
systems.
That's exactly right. And typically, this functionality is embedded in other things. I mean, you might have some whole system, and it has a component that does this, and it has a component that does providers or whatever. We counted the functionality inside of an application, okay? Because it may be that it's not all by itself, licensing and permits, and in most cases it wasn't, okay? But, yeah.
And this is based on
public health, just public health. This is the state public health. The counties, and we have a representative from the counties right here, can speak to, they're the ones with the unhappy task of entering that information repeatedly, which we hear all the time. Yes, sir. No. That's our whole point. That's what we're trying to get at. We would like to have an organized way of handling this and a consistent way of doing this, but there is no organized, everybody's operating in a silo. That's our whole point. That's what we're saying.
So
they don't even, in most cases, they don't know that the three cubes over it even exist. I'm telling you the truth. Should I keep going?
Yes,
oh, Sean.
What Tina's work is doing here, we're planning to replicate it in our county. And at the same time, we want to use this to sort of drive the relationship between our SACO and the state government to drive governance on how do we manage
can you dump me
how
off?
We, you know, make this more rational? How do we save money and work more efficiently?
And I do want to say one thing. I don't think Oregon's unique. I think this is probably happening everywhere. I think we got silos everywhere you look, okay? And again, I think the science could be done better, but we're trying to get orders of magnitude here. So keep going. So research and system management, you'll see that it's got the highest average instance per service because it's the most common functionality that appears, okay? And so you have both system management and research happening here. Contribute to and apply the evidence base of public health, which is, you know, what we're about here. So administer and manage knowledge and evidence base. So this is our best practices. This is our data that we're actually collecting. So we have 40 instances of where those things are done in software. 33 pieces of software around conducting research and evaluation. 38 pieces of software for query and report. 43 user access and permissions. 42 security and privacy, 42 accounting and grants management, and 33 revenue and payments, you know, because like a birth certificate somebody would buy, you know, or WIC is issuing benefits and things like that. So that's the kind of thing that's appearing in revenue and payments. So for those seven services, 271 instances, average instance per service, 38.7. So this is, you know, almost everybody's managing their grants, okay? So it's not like surprising that this one is going to be so high. Any comments or keep going? Keep going? Okay. We don't have complete data on governance. Governance comes in at the FAB level. And so we have data sharing, advisory committee, and steering committees around that. We don't have complete data, and so I'm not reporting any numbers there. So adopting a standards-based framework could help streamline public health practice. So here we have the summary numbers: assessment 161, policy development 179, assurance 312, research and administration 271, 923 instances for 36 services, average 25.6. Silos do not yield integrated public health information and are not sustainable. We're rebuilding the same thing 25 times, and then we're maintaining it 25 times. We're entering it 25 times, and each time uniquely. So I'm saying it's not sustainable, and we're not getting anything out of it. That's the number one problem. If we were getting great data, that'd be something else, but the truth is we're not getting great data. We can't put the whole picture together. It's all fragmented and disconnected and not great. Anything, any comments or keep going?
And I guess from my familiarity with public health, the Oregon State Health Department is certainly considered in a top-tier health department in the United States. And you're hearing the kinds of things that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
So you can only imagine if you did this in any other state, you would probably come up with the same.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Oregon is not bad. In fact, I see a lot of very fine stuff happening there. It's just, and I know there's history, you know, the programs that got, that funded them 20 years ago, thou shalt go create a database that does the following, and they did it, you know, and that happened over and over and over and over again, and everybody, and it grew up organically, and all this silos. But we're in a different space today, and it's time to think about regrouping to the extent possible. So any other comments for the next slide? So what's our reality for public health information management today? Some silos are not going away in the foreseeable future, if ever. There's some silos that are probably going to be here. Recently implemented, a whole lot of time and money spent getting there. They're not going to be willing to change, and maybe that's okay. We have mandated platforms. The CDC says thou shalt use this for PRAMS or whatever it is. You know, it's some silos are actually doing a very good job meeting the program needs, and they don't really see a reason to change. There's no resources for replacement. And another thing is there are programs who outright resist doing this. They consider themselves different. You know, they're funded by USDA, and they have a different set of rules, and they have to stay alone. I hear all the rules. I hear it all. There's always a reason why they shouldn't change and everyone else should. And the other point is some silos have elements that are scalable. They're population-based. They're standards-based already, so they're interoperable. We can draw on that. They already include best practice decision support, alerts and reminders and so forth, or other needed functionality that other people could use. They contain information needed by others. They're accepted and used by providers and users. They're a web-based or other acceptable platform. Like, you know, we don't have any, like, you know, apps yet, but, you know, I can imagine the day coming. You know, immunizations comes to mind on this, and I know we have Mary Beth back there. It's her system. But they're an example of a system that's foundational that, you know, we could draw on. We don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. There's some good babies in there. So what's a strategy for transitioning? I mean, we've got to start somewhere. focus on the most generic functionality. This is you're hearing my opinion here, okay? Focus on the most generic functionality to start. Patient provider identification and demographics, that's all over the place. So many people, I think we had 45 instances of that. That is so widely needed, and it's so fundamental to what we're doing. Referral management, even though there were only 18 of those, it is a huge problem for providers. They never know what happens. They make a referral to the state, end of story. Did the kid get seen? Did the kid get diagnosed? Did the kid get services? Is the kid better? No story, no way to know whatsoever what happened to that kid. Licensing and permits. Even though you're licensing and permitting different things, they behave very similarly. You have functionality for humans and functionality for things like swimming pools and so forth. Screening. Screening behaves very similarly. The data changes, but we're talking about going forward a data-driven system. Screening behaves the same no matter what's being screened. Performance measures and outcomes. These are just examples. This is what I consider low-hanging fruit. You're seeing my bias here, but this is what I think. Use scalable silos to support shared services. Functionality that could be used by others, modularize it so that other programs could use it. You know, yank that piece out. And I know yank takes some time, but still, modularize it so that it's something that other people can use for their programs. Standardized data collection and representation. I hear over and over again from the counties, and county representative can speak for himself, but Every system that they go to for the state has a completely different interface, and they have to learn all over again how to use something. It's not something that they can expect the same look and feel every time. So let's move toward changing that, giving a consistent look and feel to users so that this training is not such an ordeal like it is now. Select and agree to share a public health minimum data set. Again, we got to start somewhere. What is the absolute minimum that we need to get started with to get in control of this problem? And again, you're hearing my bias. All of this is my bias. Any comments before I move on? Yeah. Sean is sitting next to you. He can speak to funding. But what we looked at are state systems. The counties are using these state systems, but you guys don't contribute any funding to those. And so, in fact, it probably goes the other way. The state is actually funding the counties to use these things, if anything. But you're right. None of this is going to happen. I know it's not going to happen quick. We have to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere. And my next slide can I move to the next slide? Okay. How do we move there? There is an opportunity now to do things differently. The environment is changing because of ERA and the Affordable Care Act. There is money that has never been there before to do things. You know, and I also hear, you know, I get friction, grief, whatever. Privacy, blah, 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 we can't share our data. And the truth is, people are being allowed to experiment now. I mean, I think there's a widespread feeling that things are not working. What we are doing today is not working. And so it is possible to apply for waivers to, let us try this and see how well we can do it. Because I view, to me, somebody not being able to see data, that's a permissions issue. That doesn't mean you have to have a silo to keep that data separate. It's still in the same data model. It's just only this subgroup is allowed to see it. That's all that means. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I'm telling you, I get grief constantly on that one. But I do think there are opportunities now to start turning the boat around. We need to use national standards to exchange information from EHRs. We can't play in that game if we don't start adopting standards. And I know right now stage one only looks at three of our programs, but stage two, list patients by priority condition. We got a whole bunch of programs that fit into that category who would love to get that data to populate their databases and so forth. We can't do that unless we have adopted a standards, okay? We need longitudinal tracking and care coordination of individuals. Huge mess out there in terms of trying to get patients from one place to the next and know their data at the time they arrive at the next place. It is doable. It's not doable today given what the mess we have. We need an easier way to assess quality and performance outcomes because huge armies of people are involved in trying to pull data here and link it to data there and all this kind of stuff. We'll need to do more with less resources, and sharing can help. It requires a governance structure that limits silos. We need a commitment from executive leadership to make this happen. We need cross-office leadership in the public health departments. Dina and Steve saying this, they say, big deal. The boss is saying this, they say, ooh. So new information management initiatives need to be directed toward shared services. If we come up with a shared way to do, and I think we have to, like identification and demographics or whatever, and a new initiative is happening, they need to be drawing on that. They don't need to be reinventing that piece. And these aging silos that are all over the place, some of them are still in COBOL, we need to start transitioning those insofar as possible to the shared services core functionality. Goal is shared data and functionality across programs to create the public health information ecosystem. And again, you're hearing my bias here, but that I think we have to start thinking about this. Any comments here? Yeah. Yeah, do you want to come up here and grab this? Thank you, sir.
Israel from San Francisco. I think we need to step back and remind people first, what is the role of public health? I think we're jumping into the vision of shared data without articulating to folks that it is our responsibility as public health officials to oversee the wellness of the community. When you start there and the community understands that role, then there becomes a clear expectation as to what you're supposed to do. Most clients will say, isn't that your job? But it's mostly us as providers and the hats that we have worn in our individual units that's my section's job, and they don't see that the nurse in a public clinic is also public health. She's delivering or he's delivering the service, and you as an administrator are looking at it from a population level. So we need to step back before. One of the key things in our PowerPoints is to remind ourselves, who are we, what is our responsibility, and therefore, why are we moving to share data? We could do it as there's money going away, or it's your responsibility to coordinate care. So shrink with more dollars, with limited dollars, regardless of it, it's your responsibility. And I think that's what's missing. It's the missing link in the we're running because there's no money, where actually we should have been doing this a long time ago. And I think that's the dialogue we first need to have in order for people to understand why this maximizes the effort. Clients shouldn't have to sign 30,000 waivers when we all work for the same department. And if you're looking at data that you're not supposed to be, you're in violation of law. You're only supposed to have access to data in which is part of your job. And that's another thing that we have to remind people, and that we have in government, not only do we have our directors overseeing this, but we normally have our attorneys overseeing this. Violate this and we will have you arrested. So we have to share the entire picture, and I think people will get it.
Thank you. You want the...
find ourselves
myself working or needing to work the direction for sustainability. But our funders, although we hear words like fixity and all of these things about service integration, the funding streams continue to create segregation versus making a decision at the national level and adjusting those funding streams. And generally speaking, public health will start following that. But until they make that decision, it's almost like we're fighting an uphill battle because we do it locally, but it's not consistent with what's happening nationally.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that. A program essentially, I think, is an entity that has a unique purpose, at least in public health, typically related to diseases or conditions, and it's focused on that. It has a categoric funding stream. For state and local public health, it's not just CDC, it's HRSA, Department of Ag, Energy, EPA, and others, et cetera. So we have layers of categoric funding streams. And then finally, each program has a set of stakeholders. They exist at the federal agency, they exist at the state and the local agency. So I think that's the model for a informatics program, is that we need a unique purpose, we need some categoric funding, and we need some stakeholders. So I'm really pleased, that we're at the Finn conference and it's full of informaticists. Because I think we have to become the advocates for an informatics program, and that's happening, of course. But to countervail the influence of the other program entities in the bureaucracy that is public health.
Yes. Were you going to say something?
No.
Sean.
Let me get the mic out there.
Yeah, if you could do that. Because
make sure we capture it.
Because that was a very good point.
The other side of this sort of always remains hidden is that at the local level, we've got to coordinate horizontally as well. We've got to coordinate and share information. I'm looking at trying to share architecture with our human services people. I just brought Dina in to share her experience with our corrections health, looking at trying to share summary data so that the intake judges and others have information that can help guide their decisions. Again, sharing it across different types of municipal functions. And that's something that hasn't happened at the state level where public health division in the Oregon Health Authority is talking with our agriculture people or our environment people. That's not happening, and the data sharing issues are not being identified. And I think that's a next step in this process we're trying to break down the silos in our own programs. Well, we got to look at, all right, what are the silos in our services? Can we look at data integration across those as well?
Are there comments out there? To Sean's point, I'll add, Oregon has just reorganized, and we have public health is now part of what's called the Oregon Health Authority, and addictions and mental health and Medicaid are part of the Oregon Health Authority. And when I've been to numerous meetings where everybody's acted like, oh, mental health data can't be added to public health data. It can't be done. Well, in my opinion, it can be done. It's a different set of diagnoses. It's a different set of procedures that are happening. It actually, different set of permissions. It actually behaves very similarly. So I don't agree at all that it can't be done. With the right data model, it can absolutely be done and should be done. And the other point Sean was making, talking about the corrections health meeting, almost every group I meet with that is somehow client-facing, patient-facing, needs the public health version of the continuity of care document. We need a public health profile of the key information about that patient that travels with them. Here are their immunizations. Here are their the programs of which they're a member, you know, that they're on WIC, they're on this, they're on that, blah, blah, whatever. When I talked about the minimum data set earlier, I was really getting at what is the profile that needs to travel with that human being wherever they may go so that we do a better job on care coordination, because I hear over and over and over again, patient shows up, they don't know anything about them. You know, they're in half a dozen programs. They don't know anything about it. And I know it's hard, and I know there's money issues and all that. We are spending money today 25 times over. So at some point, we need leadership to step forward and say, we can't spend 25 times more. If we're going to spend that 25 times, let's spend it getting a coherent system, which we do not have today. Okay. Any other comments there? Yeah.
I have a comment. My name is Joel Greenspan. First of all, let me commend you for bringing this out and kind of doing the analysis that you did and kind of laying this out, because I'm sure if everyone else in state or local health departments did this, you know, they would pretty much find the same thing. And, you know, public health has inherited this, you know, duplicative, fragmented system that we call informatics. And I guess we call it a system, but it's not a system. It's just a, you know, a bunch of pieces and parts kind of glued together that is very inefficient. I'm reminded yesterday I attended, you know, a session on business processes in public health, and a lot of what was discussed there sounded very familiar. I don't see, is Vicki Hayner here or Marcy? Yeah, you know, there's a lot of thought and attention being given to this same problem. There's some vocabulary issues, too, because I noticed, you know, you use the term common services, and I think others would use the term business areas.
Yeah.
All right. And then,
or
of course,
functionality.
Yeah, okay. And then there's the whole issue of business processes, which is kind of one step further down. That, you know, you haven't talked about, that gets pretty complicated. But ultimately, if you figure out what the work is, the least common denominator in all of this is the business processes. And once you can identify those, then you can figure out a way to, you know, develop them once and use them many times.
Right.
And not keep duplicating things.
So every wedge, I'll show you the acknowledgments, and the last slide is going back to the model. So these are people who contributed. Kathleen Anger is a research analyst. Michelle Barber is on our Public Health Informatics Initiative team. Catherine Bradley is my boss. Russ Hargrave is the head of OIS and Oregon Office of Information Services, and Steve's boss. Ellen Larson from Hood River County. Bob Leopold from, what is he, Emergency Medical Services. Jay Magnuson, who's a speaker and a moderator here at this meeting, electronic laboratory reporting, Sean Messick, my colleague sitting right there, Wendy Morgan, graphic artist, Jennifer Woodward, head of the Birth and Death and Center for Health Statistics, and Chow Yu on my team, my informatics team. So then we're back to this model. So what I wanted to say here is every wedge of this wheel has granularity associated with it, okay? It's not just identification and graphics. There's functionality workflow associated with that. So that gets to your point you were talking about, the business process, stepping through each, how do we do that in a generic way? And it's all written to a data model that is data-driven, has metadata that allowed us that's all standards-based, of course, that allows us to get it back out simply, because I'm telling you, we got an army of people trying to pull this data together now to do their analysis, and you know, usually taking what they can get rather than something easily obtained that they know they can count on, that it's right, or it's as right as we're going to get it. Within resources. And anyway, so again, there is work to be done. We could go out to the next level and say, okay, what happens? You know, blah, blah, blah. And we should.
Bo Garland from Massachusetts. In addition to this shared services model, where are you envisioning that these services are hosted? Do you have like a hosting environment at the state level? Are you hosting this at external sites? Is each going to be individually hosted at the program level or at a state level?
Well, clearly we don't have anything built today, okay? We don't have this done today. What I'm saying is we need to do this. There needs to be a shared repository of some sort that houses the data. I mean, we have various and sundry data warehouses, usually that follow program lines right now, and there needs to be some sort of, you know, data repository. When I said a shared data model, which I also have built, but we're not seeing it today, but I have a similar sort of thing for the data model that supports this. But basically, Is it hosted? Is it internal? We don't have anything built today. Those are decisions that would have to be made, how it would all happen. And you know, right now I'm on the campaign to get everybody on my side so that they would put resources behind this so that we could move forward and start having something concrete that we could actually show somebody.
And then to follow up with that, question, who do you envision doing this work? And part of the reason that I'm asking this question is because in Massachusetts we are doing moving towards this. I'm the project manager for an electronic disease surveillance system where we've already integrated with an access and identity management service, which is one of the shared services provided by our Executive Office of Health and Human Services. But what challenge that I'm finding is that first and foremost, I have, I'm short-staffed, we're low on funding. I have a backlog of maybe a year and a half worth of work and releases scheduled to complete that work. But in addition to that stuff, we have all these things that are on the plate in terms of shared services and no one to do the actual work.
Well, I mean, it's the same problem. We need a commitment from the top. And I think you made the point earlier, or someone, I think it was you who made the point earlier, if the national level, this has got to be like...
Everybody has the same problem.
I hear it everywhere I go.
I think if public health wants to connect with HIE, that's a rationale. There is Medicaid money available to public health departments to connect to HIE. That it's sort of a constrained area that will be funded by Medicaid. So I would look into that. There's some resources now available through Medicaid to assist public health to connect with HIE. And to me, we have to be rational in terms of using standards and being able to connect with the HIE and connect with clinical health through the HIE. And that's all a forcing function for standards. So I think that's the opportunity that we have in the Public Health Informatics Initiative is to try to leverage what's going on. We have our HIE is rolling out of a provider directory service. Well, are we going to build one in public health now? No. We're going to use the provider directory service of the HIE. And so I think we've got to really try to horn public health into the HIE. That's what I'm seeing, because currently at least there is some funding and there's a template for standards-based capabilities.
And so you had a comment?
Yeah, just I wanted to follow up with the gentleman from San Francisco and the county health department fellow, because one of our experiences has been that oftentimes from an informatics perspective, it's, and this is a generalization, but easier to make changes because you're coming from that perspective. But the critical piece that has to change as well is the business model of public health. At the community level or the client level, where services are actually delivered, when a client walks into the clinic, they don't have red lines, blue lines, green lines, and yellow lines, or they don't need to be descended upon by every different program from a different business model. If you can start changing public health business models to a more holistic approach, systems begin to follow as well. So you're battling a lot of different things from the informatics side, and it would be nice to begin changing the models that we use to deliver services as well.
One-stop shopping.
Yeah. Because individuals are very complex when they present themselves to a clinic, and they usually require more than one particular service. They're not walking in for an HIV service or an STD service or an immunization service. There are usually several things at the same time.
In medicine, they call it comorbidity. So we have the public health equivalent of comorbidity.
Oh, and almost to piggyback on what he just said, you have health departments, too, that don't have good relationships with their communities. And so, like the guy from San Francisco spoke to earlier, to change that way of thinking in the community, you have to build that trust. So whether it's IT security funding, because I got a notice in the mail from a doctor saying, oh, our system was hacked.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily put too much trust in that system to say, well, if you can't keep your own system together, how are you going to share this information with other health departments or other doctors within that community, within that county, within that state? And so building that trust between that health department and the community also plays a major role into the information sharing.
Agreed. So you want to get the thing, the mic. Thank you.
Again, I would applaud you. I would do two things. One is speak to your HHS regional lead, which every one of their nine regions, and so they could help you understand, and as long as, like you said, have the leadership from your Oregon wanting to do this, asking them to be a forcing function to bring what are amazing number of grants. There's almost as many grants as there are projects, so you're not sure when or where to look. The other thing is that I would really take this to a foundation who, like the Melinda Gates and Bill Gates Foundation, who are business/health, to really look at how they could support you. Because I think what we're having here is two worlds, right? How you bring business to public health. And that language is nervous, makes people nervous. Because in San Francisco, we have a Pixie project, and it's not just looking at comorbid conditions, which is what we typically do. A person has HIV and TB. But the syndemic approach, that either they have both and they have worse outcomes for both, and yet they're seen by two different departments. So we're treating it as comorbid, HIV and TB, but they're dying either from their HIV not being treated because of their HIV. You know, so we really, once people start seeing that it's about the client and how they can share data, it starts this process. And we laugh. I always say, as the manager of integration, I always bring two things with me to meetings, a defibrillator and an oxygen mask, because someone's going to pass out and, you know, someone's going to stop breathing. So you need to, like, jumpstart their heart and keep moving on this process, but you have to be committed. And I commend you for stepping back, because there's a lot of hospitals using what's called the Toyota principle, again, another model, in where you look at the efficiency in your systems, where every department is buying their own gloves, and yet by the time you go to get gloves, they're all expired. So I agree with you that sometimes we say there's no money, yet how much money are we wasting?
Yeah.
because no one wants to do just a centralized ordering system for supplies. And so there's a lot of things that we're doing that we're going to have to change. And it's funny, as a former CBO, that's what the health department told me. So it's interesting that the health department would always be like, you know, you're wasting dollars. And yet when we turn the mirror, no one wants to see what's reflected back. So I think, you know, we all have to be in this together and just remember it's client first.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think one of the issues that I'm facing is that it's far cheaper for me to still be a silo system than to integrate with a lot of the requirements or some of the initiatives that Massachusetts is moving forward with. For example, we're looking at some of the other shared services, but the development work for the electronic disease surveillance system, even in the silo, seems to be cheaper than putting out the money to
for the general case for
everyone. And then who's at this point? It's because we're so far ahead of some of the other applications within Massachusetts. We're looked to do a lot of the work for everybody else, and it's kind of like what's in it for me is a big issue, because if I'm doing all this work, there's no real benefit to my program, to my group, apart from maybe just recognition. But that at the bottom line, that's not really helping.
You mean if what you're saying is you're one of the foundational systems that we talked about in the earlier slide. You're one of those potentially scalable systems, or at least pieces of your functionality, are could be modularized and made generic for everyone. But why should you pick up the tab for everybody? That's sort of your gist.
And I hate to put it that way, but it really is. I'm struggling as it is to fulfill my business needs to meet what the business is requiring. And so I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it. I'm just saying, do people have an idea of how to move forward in that way and still meet?
I'm not sure that personally at a project level that you could solve this problem. I mean, you're focused on a piece of the elephant,
right?
And this problem is the elephant. And so I would say you have to bump it up to a sort of higher governance level or system level, which you can contribute to, because I'm sure you're using or you're developing some of this same common functionality in a slightly different way than the old systems, et cetera, you know. And so some way where you could share your, if you can't literally share some of that functionality, then certainly you can educate other people about it. And I think this is a sort of an executive level view of how do you want to run the business. And we can continue to build the silos and try to improve them, but I think it's a little like turning the Titanic. You know, I mean, we're slowly trying to turn it, but we're not seeming to be a flexible entity anymore, in my mind, compared to even clinical health, because they've got tons of resources to buy flexibility, maybe. But I think we need to be a lot more flexible, and our current method of organization by programmatic focus, which was an entitlement from probably a congressman, you know, is not probably the most flexible way to operate a business. And public health is a business. It's not a for-profit business, maybe, but I think some of this stuff is fairly high level, I guess is what I'm saying, beyond, you know, what you could probably control from a project level.
Right. We've actually already implemented a number of web services and other shared services that can be accessed by multiple applications. But part of the problem is some of the core functionalities, we're finding it's more cost effective for us to develop for our personal needs as opposed to just you know, for everyone else, basically.
Well, again, to echo Steve's point, your leadership needs to be behind doing something about it, or you get nowhere, because then you're off on your own, like you, trying to carry the ball. Sean, you want to get the mic?
One of the other areas we have difficulty with, and the issue with the funding, is that, how would you say it?
senior moment?
Well, no. Essentially what you have is state systems that essentially have upward accountability, no downward accountability to the counties. And we're a local rule state, so here we have local authority that is not in control of its own data. And where the counties have their own funds, they're building shadow systems and or parallel systems to build out what they need to do, what the centralized systems do not do.
Right.
So if we could leverage all of those wasted funds from multiple counties across the state to then collaboratively come up with a solution for various programs, maybe start reducing the number of divisions on there. We're not going to get a single system, but you know where we can. There are some areas of opportunity there. So one of the things that we've been doing is with our SACHO, engaging in governance discussions around various state-run systems and trying to sometimes kicking and screaming, bring the state program people to the table with a broad range of county representatives under a governance process, a joint management team, as they're calling it. And having a channel of escalation that doesn't just go to the state program division leader. It goes to a public health person, community health person. So getting that discussion, getting people engaged and saying, hey, we need to spend our money more wisely. We need to build systems. Stop saying, oh, you're a big county. You can build, you know, spend your own money and make up the differences or the shortfalls in what we don't do. But it won't be interoperable. It has to fall by the wayside. We have to change that culture.
So I came to public health 4 years ago after, you know, I've been in the database management business on the side of healthcare information management for 40 years. So I came to public health 4 years ago, and I was struck by, having built many, many systems, I was struck by the state has, like, systems that require the counties to report to them rather than systems that manage workflow at the county level, and the state takes what it needs from it. Like, it gets the counts of whatever, how many people got, you know, whatever it was they got. And it seemed crazy to me that you would have a completely separate system that managed workflow at the local level and then have something that the county people would have to go and enter into the data from the workflow system. So I think public health is the whole thing. It's county and state. It's everybody working on it. It's not here is the state and here is the county and the twains don't meet other than this crazy way we got right now. You want to hand him the mic? Okay.
He already handed it to
okay.
Just been kind of listening to everything that's been going on and what you've done and what you've talked about. It sounds to me like you've identified areas where you could be sharing services, but you haven't really moved to a shared service model yet.
No.
You haven't taken. Are you planning to take the next step, which would be to go and do an inventory of the systems, find out which ones have best practices that maybe you can elevate and say, this is the model we're going to use for right now, and promulgate that across your organizations and say, yeah, this is at least a start. It may not be the best one. We'll figure out how to accommodate the other pieces that you need. But for right now, this gives us a standard service to start from.
We have right now, and Steve can speak more to this, we have done an environmental scan, not only of public health, but of the other two divisions that are now in the Oregon Health Authority, and we have identified candidate systems that have good stuff in them, and they're written in the last, you know, they're not COBOL, you know, or Sybase Power Builder. I mean, we have some really old stuff, and they have kernels there that could be made generic. The step we're at right now is getting the execs on board, and we're going to be meeting with them as a group in the near future. We have met separately with some of them who really liked this model and understood it and got it, and they listened. The execs recognize we have a huge mess on our hands because there's no way to put the data together. that slide that said 963 instances, you want to put that data together, you got to write 963 things, and these are not, we didn't look at all of the systems, these are the big ones. You know, there's probably three or four times that number, because there's all these little one-off access databases or something like that sitting all over the place. We didn't even look at those. These are the ones that are actually supported by the IT department, these that we looked at. And so our next step is get buy-in from the execs, because they have the ability, the authority to actually say, we're going to start shifting resources this way, and, you know, new things coming down the pipe that there's funding for, why would we make a whole new stand? And there's some initiatives happening right now, and this is already in discussion right now, for how do we do this in a generic way so that we don't build yet another silo, you know. So, oh, you need the mic. Because we're being recorded.
I think one thing, there's a disconnect between the state and local systems, mainly because local systems have to generate maybe 20 or 30% of their own revenues. The state doesn't. Therefore, you've got a totally different philosophy between the two. Those have never been meshed. The state wants data, the local area wants data, but they also need revenue, and that becomes, it's become more and more critical with every year and every round of budget cutting. So until that, those two thoughts are brought together, I think you're still going to have this separation and a misunderstanding about who needs what.
Well, that's what we were talking about, and Sean's point earlier, you know, the twains don't meet, and I'm a believer that, you know, the counties and the state is just, again, I think the state's data in large measure, I don't know what percent, you know, I'm going to throw something out there, 90%, is derivative of the work that's done at the local level. So I don't know the actual number. I don't have counts, but I'm just throwing that out there.
We do have a few programs where they're revenue generators for the counties, like vital records and even immunization. So by and large, though, you're right. We're collecting data to report to the feds because of our funding comes from above, and they're needing data for operational, for managing their business. And that's there are very different purposes.
Could you just clarify what you mean when you say that local health departments are dependent on revenue? Does that mean that you need to bill for the services that you provide?
Yes.
The answer, yes.
Perhaps 30% of our budget.
30% of our budget is dependent on fee income generated at the clinics. So therein lies our whole thrust to maintain that. Well, the state is not concerned with that. You know, they want data and they want uniformity. Well, since the local county health departments, by and large, had to develop their own systems independently because they funded them themselves, you've got this great diversity of different systems. Or varying degrees within the same system in different locations in terms of operability, in terms of actually human resource and knowledge. So I agree with you. It has to be brought together at some point, but until each recognizes the other one's need, and for the most part, the state recognizes the local area's needs for this revenue and the fact that this is where the data is generated and this is the tip of the spear for public health, you know, we're still going to be stymied.
Any other comments? These are all great comments, by the way. Anybody else?
What do you think your next steps are going to be?
Our next step is to meet with the execs. You know, we've been pecking away at the execs. And I'm telling you, we have some of them already on board. And we just have two new execs who, you know, come from the outside. So they, you know, there's always sort of people who've been there a long time, are used to this, and are accustomed to things being chaotic and never getting there, and at some level don't believe it can be done, okay? And so we have to overcome that, because I know it can be done. not chutzpah, it's true. You know, we need backing at a very high level to start moving the, 2 years ago I had a poster called A Flea Pushing a Boulder here at this conference. And the boulder has moved slightly, and I have more fleas now helping. And I need some big fleas to help. But our next step really is moving forward. We are building also a bigger informatics contingent. We have an organization called Council Local Health Officials-Information Management. Sean and I are both part of that organization. Steve is too, where we're working very directly with the counties on exactly these issues. And so the counties are very much behind this idea because, you know, they're suffering out there. I mean, Sean can speak for himself, but, you know, they're the ones who are entering the data over and over and over into all those discrete pieces of functionality that we documented. So, Oh, by the way, if anybody's interested.
We're entering it over and over, but it's only for WIC. And
you want to give him this? Sorry, we're still being recorded. Thank you for being my assistant.
We're entering the data over and over, but only for WIC. And as we were told yesterday in another meeting we were at, it seems like USDA thinks that they're the only program that's not a part of public health. Yet, you know, it's a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
Huge amount.
It's the biggest program of all.
So is anyone else having these same types of problems?
I'm on the MHO informatics work group.
And that was a parking lot item that I'm on the NHO Public Health Informatics Work Group, and that was a parking lot item that we took up on Sunday. And we've developed a plan. Essentially, CDC is not getting much feedback, or I guess you call it stonewalling, from USDA. So we're going to go through OMB and the Office of the CIO and really hammer out the issue that, listen, this is the largest single safety net program in every community in America, and it doesn't coordinate. How can they maintain that argument or any justification in this whole national debate on improved efficiencies in healthcare and health and care coordination through data sharing, essentially, and interoperability? How can they maintain that? So that's the sort of angle that we're trying to take, and they've made some contacts already. So we'll see if we can start putting some chinks in there, at least create a message, an executive message that goes down that it's good to cooperate, it's good to share information, so that essentially the state programs that set these things up don't have the impunity to sit there and say, we're not interested in cooperating with you. We're not going to share your data. We don't want any of yours. How can that be right, that they have that major pool of data and it doesn't at all in any way contribute to our understanding the health of our community?
Yes.
Yep. Yes. So our county level people have to enter the data into it. The only way we achieve coordination is, well, we'll put our home visit nurses in the same building with them so they can physically capture the people. Or we give them a login to look into the WIC system where they can look at the information and write it down and then take it to their own system and start doing it. But never is there an interchange. Referral processes are all manual. There's no intake back and forth feedback. So Yes, it's all over.
So that line and that slide, some programs are resistant to going along because they're different. There's an example right there. WIC is one who will always say to you, well, we're USDA, we have a different set of rules, blah, blah, blah. However, they have they fit in this model just like everybody else does. You know, they do. And it's just getting, you know, I don't have the authority, the ability to make them come to the table, but the execs do. That's why we're working on next step is the execs. Any other comments? Yeah.
Hi, my name is Yonghui Zhang from Scientific Technology Corporation.
From where?
Scientific Technology Corporation from Arizona. And I do have the suggestions when you go to your executive team. So you should prepare. You know, we do planning with many, many states for the public health. To build the collaborative public health service, so you need to have the two basic things. You know, one is about the business solution option. You have basic plan about this. That, you know, could impact your organization structure when you talk to the exact team. The second one is called technology solution option. So then, so your team did a wonderful job. It's not just quick, dirty. It's a wonderful framework, wonderful system engineering approach. You systematically identified the issues, categorized, you know, that and see. But that's the big step, but that's only first step. So we have to face the reality, leverage the existing infrastructures and system, even they are legacy system. But there are some core functions that are supporting Oregon's daily work. I have talked to your previous the CIO, the Rick, you know, and you know, so those system, you know, they are old, but you know, and they printed the food stamp for the people that need that, you know, and you know that's the system we have to leverage that. So, but how to build that the different system, old system silos, you know, and the new system together, so that the technology solution options should identify the common tools first.
Right.
And then wrap the legacy system into the new environment that can be the service-oriented architecture, working into the modern, you know, the architectures. But anyway, so the two things I think both need to be addressed. One is business solution option, including the workflow. You mentioned that the business process. And so you have to re-engineer that process if you want to build a collaborative public health service. And equally important, that's the technical solution option. At least a high level, this kind of the plan, you know, need to be prepared. Then the executive know how to move forward. Yes.
Yeah.
I believe they understand the issues, but they need to know
concrete steps when we go meet with them. I agree with you.
Yes,
we've been talking about that. Definitely have some, because I mentioned each of these wheels. I mean, each spoke in the model has granularity associated with it, and that needs to be documented. And where does it exist today that we can draw on it that's done a good job and so forth that we could leverage. But I agree with you, absolutely. I do want to mention, we have, in case anybody's interested, we got a stack of these things here, of the model. That it? Anybody else? Oh, another comment. You want to speak to that, Steve?
We do have some architecture. It's, you know, application level architecture is probably utilized more actually day to day. The shared services architecture group focused a lot on
more backbone core IT service function around email, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I don't
they
think
don't
that they've contributed yet to this kind of conceptual understanding of, you know, what do we do? I mean, that's where informatics can, you know, people from informatics actually know what the business is and what the information requirements are. Our business is about information in public health, and the people who practice public health know about the information. So, you know, I think this will lead us to, you know, hopefully getting concrete enough that we could bring in architects to say, okay, you know, here are the functions we need your help with building. And I would say that our architecture group is not a strong one.
No. They don't have domain knowledge, but also I should say I have built a data model. I have a companion slideshow that's not going to be shown today of the data model that would support this functionality model. So I have a very good starting point of where to go, which is not to say there isn't plenty of work to do. There's plenty of work to do, absolutely. But, you know, you got to start somewhere, and this is where we're starting. Anything else? Well, thank you all for coming. Y'all gave great comments.